You can open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. You know, I first started last week in this chapter, and I originally put all 13 verses down and said, I'm going to be done with this in one shot. Well, we made it through the first three verses. So this week, I'm thinking to myself, okay, we'll do 4 through 13. We're going to finish this chapter. And I made it to verse 7. Apparently, love, there's a lot to say about it. So we're going to take a look at verses 4 through 7 in chapter 13 today. And I titled this, Love's Power. You know, let me read here from 1 John chapter 4, and I'll start in verse 12. It goes, no one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him, and he in us, because he has given us his Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love. And he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. So we see here a simple description or an attribute of God, one of them, that God is love. In the previous chapter, chapter 12, Paul shared how we receive the gifts, how they interrelated within the body, and were to be used for the edification of the saints to profit all. And we've seen so far in this chapter that all these gifts are nothing if we don't use them in love. In other words, without that love, that sacrificial love, agape, we're nothing. And this is a love that has been given to us. We saw it in Romans chapter 5, verse 5. He says, now hope does not disappoint because the love, that agape love of God, has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. And since God has given us this love as believers, should we not be practicing it? Using it when we fellowship together or when we are with family and sharing Jesus Christ? Should we not do that in love? When seeing others in distress, especially believers, we should be showing and practicing that sacrificial love that we have received. Recall the church at Ephesus and Jesus saying, nevertheless, I have this against you that you have left your first love. Thus Paul letting the Corinthians know here that though they were speaking in languages, it was nothing but clanging cymbals without love. Though they knew all the mysteries and could prophesy, that without love they were nothing. Though you do good works like the church of Ephesus, you are doing nothing if you don't do it in love. Paul now is making it easy for us to understand, because now he's going to go and define love. What it is and what it is not. And in so doing, he's going to show us love's power. Let's read through these verses. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. Is not puffed up. Does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we do give you thanks just for allowing us to meet here today, Father, freely, to come before you and worship, Father, and now to go through your word, Father, to learn more about your, not only your love for us, but how to maybe apply it in our lives. That agape, self-sacrificing love, we thank you for it, Father. Lord, open our hearts to understand your word today and to grow, Father, in love. And Father, we do thank you for the mothers who show that love, Father, in a lot of ways to their children and even to the their sons and daughters when they're grown, and the grandchildren. We thank you for everything that you provide, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, and it is not puffed up. Strong's defines long-suffering as to persevere patiently and bravely in enduring misfortunes and troubles, to be patient in bearing the offenses and injuries of others, to be mild and slow in avenging, to be long-suffering, slow to anger. So Paul telling the Corinthians and us that long-suffering love endures evil. It endures troubles. It endures provocation without being filled with resentment or revenge. Love is a strength in and of itself, a power over our anger, a persevering patience, the ability to put up with numerous slights and neglects. God is himself a living example of patience, and it's his long-suffering that allows time for us to be saved. Peter wrote this in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. For those who have not repented and come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, he's long-suffering. He's still waiting for them. Love is kind, beyond mere politeness. Kindness involves the act of doing good for others when it does not benefit us. So just as patience will take anything from others, kindness will give anything to others. Paul wrote that it was God's kindness that leads us to him. In Romans chapter 2, verse 4, he wrote, "Or do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance?" It's his love for us that leads us to him. Just as God loved us before we believed, while we were at enmity with him, we should love our enemies, being kind to them. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 44, Jesus said, "But I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you." You know, it's interesting that the love of God has been poured out into our hearts via the Holy Spirit, who was given to us. And we see Paul in writing to the Galatians, he shows us in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, he says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires." So the love poured into us is also a fruit of the Spirit, along with long-suffering kindness that we just looked at. And because of this, we have the power, the strength, and love to overcome envy. Because love does not envy. And your envy can strike you quickly, or it can build up over time. Cain envied Abel because of Abel's sacrifice being accepted, and Cain's was not. We saw with Cain that feeling of discontent and resentment aroused by that acceptance of Abel's sacrifice. You know, for us, we could look at someone else's possessions, qualities, maybe their luck. It is a sin that can easily lead to further transgressions if not checked. In Cain's case, his envy of Abel's sacrifice being accepted by God led to anger and ultimately murder. And I thought about this. See if you can follow me on my thoughts. You know, over time, that fruit, that love that we have grows. And as it grows, We start to see this fruit of long-suffering or patience. And that long-suffering, patience, that love allows us to deal with envy or any other issue that may come up. We see that with God's love in us, we have the power of long-suffering. And if that long-suffering, which allows us to wait out that strength, that overpowering feeling of being envious, well, because of the other fruit, self-control, we can hold off on retaliating or acting out. It gives us the power to step back from the situation, to think about it. Thus, in time, we are then able to show kindness or gentleness to the ones who made us envy. And this gives us that peace as we do not fly off the handle and act out. It makes us as Christians stand out among the Gentiles, the non-believers, because we don't act out, because we have God's love in us. And as we draw closer to Jesus Christ, we use that love, we practice it, we grow in it. When Jesus was baptizing, John's disciples came to John and said, and this is in John chapter 3, verse 26, Rabbi, beyond the Jordan, to whom you have testified, behold, he is baptizing, and all are coming to him. They seem to be a little envious over this. And what did John say to him? Starting at verse 29, he who has the bride is the bridegroom. But the friend of the bridegroom, who stands and hears him, rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. Therefore, this joy of mine is fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease. John knew who Jesus was. He loved him. He wasn't envious of that. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 30 reads, a sound heart is life to the body, but envy is rottenness to the bones. And Paul, we saw him constantly being harassed by those that were envious of him. He wrote from prison to the Philippians, Philippians chapter 1, starting at verse 12, but I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel, so that it has become evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ. And most of the brethren in the Lord, having become confident by my chains, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Now some indeed preach Christ from envy and strife, and some also from goodwill. The former preach Christ from selfish ambition, not sincerely supposing to add affliction to my chains, but the latter out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel. So there were those who envied Paul, wanted him in prison, tried to add, as he put it, affliction to his chains. There were probably those Judaizers who believed the Levitical laws of the Old Testament were still binding, thus they would enforce the law, the circumcision, upon the Gentiles who converted. They were teaching a gospel of works. They thought Paul was a traitor. And Paul was teaching the gospel of grace. Love does not boast or parade itself. C.J. Lewis called boasting or bragging the utmost evil, because it puts ourselves first, above everyone else, including God. Is it any wonder why pride separates us from God? Basically, if you are self-promoting yourself, and this is what the Corinthians were doing with the gifts, misusing the gifts to look like, hey, I'm more spiritual than others. I can speak in tongues, drawing attention to themselves, putting themselves above others. And while they're doing that, they were putting themselves above God, because God gave them those gifts. So we see boasting having to do with building ourselves up in the eye of others and putting all others down. And why they were boasting? They were puffed.